Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. All right, friends, welcome back to another amazing episode of the Real Estate Sales Show. My name is Danny Morrell. I am your host. I am excited about this one because this individual is like one of my original mentors and I get to share him with all of you. I think we're going to learn a lot on this episode. And before I go any further, if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's episode, please do that. We had a special guest, Mr. Gary Acosta from the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals, basically the founder of one of the top trade organizations and one of the strongest within the entire real estate industry. And he went over the 10 steps for what they're calling the NAREP 10 and the NAREP 10 and the Wealth Initiative. It was a powerful, powerful show. So make sure you listen to that. A friendly reminder, if you haven't already done so, like us, rate us, and give us an actual written review. That helps us tremendously in our quest to be the number one podcast on the business section in iTunes, which right now we're hovering at about number 70 to 100, depending on the day of the week. All right, with that said, this individual I personally met, I think, over 15 years ago or so. He was actually one of my first coaches. If you heard or have been listening to our previous shows, we had a guest by the name of Ty Leon Guerrero, and these two individuals were essentially the foundational building blocks for me in this business. So it's an honor to welcome him to the show, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Joe DiRaphael out of Las Vegas, Nevada. How are you doing, Joe D?
Right on, Danny. Hey, thank you for a great intro. I appreciate that, man. I'm excited to be on the RESS. I've been listening to all the podcasts you've done so far, and you're just knocking it out of the park with this.
I appreciate that. And by the way, right off the bat, you're such a freaking salesperson. I'm like literally, I'm looking at you and you're just nodding your head. Yes.
It's game time, baby.
It is. So we're going to teach a lot of people a lot of techniques for all of our listeners. Honest to God, the goal for this one is to like, I think you're going to be exposed to a lot. I really, really do. So Joe D, tell us a little bit about yourself, the basics, how long in the business. Let's start with that one.
This is coming up in 3 months. It'll be 23 years I'll have completed selling real estate, which is mind-boggling to me.
Oh my gosh.
It just seems like the other day that I felt like I was a rookie.
Right.
And you know, I know I've been through a lot of roller coaster rides and things of that nature over the last two decades, but man, it's been fun and it goes quick.
Awesome. So 23 years in the business.
Yep.
I got to ask, what got you in the business and what did you do before?
Yeah, it's interesting. It was actually a family friend that a great guy by the name of Steve Schneider. He was part owner of a real estate company here in town. I was managing restaurants. I had gone to UNLV, got a degree in restaurant management. I was down in Long Beach, California. And Steve would come down on vacation. And every time he'd come down, he'd recruit me. He's like, hey, you got to come sell real estate. You got to come sell real estate. And I was a kid out of college. I had an apartment. I'm like, I don't even know anything about real estate. He goes, you don't need to know anything. I'll teach you everything.
Right.
And after a couple of years of being stuck in the same building, the same restaurant, essentially 60 hours a week, I called him one day and said, all right, what's this real estate about? So I went from Long Beach back to Vegas, sat with him for a couple of minutes. Before I knew it, I was handing him my credit card and he was calling the real estate school, enrolling me. I hadn't even quit my job at the restaurant yet. And he was like, all right, we'll go get you a desk. And I was like, what's happening? He goes, well, you're going to do this. And, you know, I've taken him out a lot to lunch and dinner and things like that and thanked him because he knew before I did, you know, knew this was the right move.
Yeah. So I hear from what you're saying that not only did he have vision, but you had some vision as well, because it's funny, I deal with this all the time. I think that one of the signs of being a powerful person is being a decisive person.
Yeah.
And making fast business decisions. So kudos to you for at a young age being able to make a quick decision right then and there on the spot. I got to ask Joe, and I want to learn more about what you've accomplished in the industry, but I got to ask you this question. I think that's one of the things that salespeople are missing, the ability to be decisive and make fast business decisions, because if you can't decide for yourself, you can't help anybody else decide for themselves. Yeah. Let's get into it. I mean, talk to me about that for a second.
I think, you know, trust is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of trust do you have in the person that you're speaking to? So if we're looking from a sales perspective, you know, are you trustworthy? Do you come across trustworthy? And for me, even to this day, my mastermind members, my mentors, coaches, these are trustworthy, high integrity people. And so I put myself in position where I know I'm getting good information and I can make fast decisions.
Right.
And the other thing that I've learned is every time I take a long time to make a decision, it's usually because something's not right. Like if I really have to think something through, it's not a fit. I mean, I know or I don't know. Or if I'm thinking a long time, I'm going against my gut. Like I'm trying to justify and fight it. So I've trained myself now as quickly as possible to make decisions and move on. What feels right? If it doesn't feel right, no, let's move on.
Okay, so you said something magic. By the way, Joe, first time ever that I've been doing these shows, I literally had to like reach in my desk because I go, oh, hold on, there's a lot here. So
right on. So
you know, I'm writing notes on stuff to ask you. I'm typically pretty good at remembering, but that was just too much. So there's a lot to tackle here. Gosh, before I go any further, let's just clarify how amazing of a 23 years it's been for you.
Thank you.
So that we can really capture people's attention. Tell me about some highlights in your career.
Well, I think my wife was telling me right now, we're real close to 3,000 sales for me. She's been kind of tracking that. And, you know, we've had years as high as 275. I think actually it was 276 was the peak year. We had a couple of years right in that 270 range. We definitely were a mouse on a wheel running hard. And we learned how to shift some things up and set it up better. We average a little over 100 deals a year right now, and it's clean. It's easy. No nights, no weekends. And not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just the way we set our life up. You know, I've got two kids that are, you know, 16 and my daughter just turned 15. And I really want to enjoy this last go round. And I definitely have made that a purpose since they were born to make sure I was a part of their life. So I had to set things up in a way that allowed me to have that option, you know?
Well, I mean, you're speaking my language here, Joe. And this was going to happen because we believe the same principles.
Yep.
We believe that while 85% of the real estate community is out there running around on that hamster wheel, if you work on your mindset and if you work on your ability to sell, you can not only get off the hamster wheel, you can like literally create the wheel however you want it. And yeah, it's a magical life.
You know, to that point, Danny, it's something that once you're aware of it, you have to really pay attention to, because you can also create the chaos, the frustration, and the challenges by what you're thinking about. And, you know, if you're focused on things like, you know, we've all been guilty of this. You know, it's a Friday afternoon and, you know, it's been a busy week. Maybe you've had a good week or you're just tired, whatever. And you've got that late appointment and you're thinking in your mind, I don't really want to go on this. And then what happens? You know, within the next hour, boom, they call and they cancel.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, yeah. I got to wait. No, I didn't want that to happen. And so, yeah, it is definitely a double-edged sword, and it's tapping into it in a way that supports you for sure.
So, Joe, right off the bat, I'm gonna have to have you back.
Okay.
Because you're just spitting so much game and so much knowledge right now that I mean, I have two directions to go with this, with these questions. First is, I know you are one of the few master Jedi salespersons out there in the country, right? But yet, you know, you're touching on some things in regards to mindset that I think we've got to discover. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, this is your show. I'm honestly honored to be a part of it. So wherever you want to go, I'm up.
Okay, so let's start with the first question. Okay. You said something earlier. You said I had to train myself. Mm-hmm. To be able to make fast business decisions. I'm a believer in the ability to make fast business decisions, and it's always amazes me, Joe. It's no secret I own a real estate brokerage here, and I right. meet with agents all the time, and they walk in my office and they say, man, life sucks. I'm struggling. I've been stuck at 22 deals a year. I work 7 days a week. Like the typical story. Everybody has the same basic right about story, right? And then I go, great, we can help you sign the contract. Well, it's always it's amazing how people don't understand that the way they do anything is the way they do everything.
Absolutely.
And the way they think about the ability to make decisions is the way that they're going to show up in front of a seller.
Yep.
So talk to me about how you trained yourself to be able to make better and quicker business decisions.
I think it's working on it everywhere. And quite frankly, when you realize that you're a little bit of a slow decision maker, or you tend to ponder a lot, you've got to attack it from all angles. It's almost like working on your sales skills. You can't just decide, okay, I'm going to do it on Monday through Friday between 8 and 10. No, it has to become an obsession. And you have to live by, you're going to work on your sales skills when you're at the grocery store. You're going to work on your sales skills when you're with your kids. And same thing with making decisions. So start with some easy ones. You know, go to a restaurant and challenge yourself to make a decision on something on the menu within 30 seconds or less, and live with the decision. And then expand that and constantly just challenge yourself, where else can I make fast decisions? Now, Danny, to your point, when agents come in and they're hesitant on signing up with you, even though they're coming to you looking for help, I mean, to me, that's a huge tell. It's a huge tell that they're stuck everywhere.
Yeah.
In fact, when your brother, Anthony, came to me to work for me, or, you know, to learn the business way back, I purposely didn't acknowledge him right away. And I wanted to see, was he going to call me again?
Yeah.
Because I get people calling me every week. Oh, I want to role play with you. Oh, I want to pick your brain. I want to do this. Yeah, okay, let me make you jump through 2 to 3 hoops to see if you're capable and worthy. And if you are, great, now we'll do something. But most people, they quit or they get hung up like you're talking about.
It's funny. I had somebody approach me about opening an office once.
Okay.
They came from Northridge, one of the great people on earth, Luis Rodriguez. If you haven't met him, I got to introduce him to you. But he said, oh my gosh, you have no idea. I want you to come and open an office here in the Valley and yada, yada, yada. I said, nope, not going to do it. And I basically, the Valley is like an hour and a half away. I said, tell you what, show up every day at my office, 7 a.m. in the morning for 2 weeks in a row, and then maybe we'll talk. And I just kind of left it there. Next day, he's calling me. All right. He beat me to the office, and I live 5 minutes away. You know what I'm saying? So that's awesome.
The guy who wants it. Right.
Joe, another thing, I mean, let's just talk basic human beings 101. Like, while you were speaking, I was envisioning people having a hard time making a decision as to who's going to pay for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and then and yet we think or we say that we want to make more money and we want to have a better life, but we can't have the courage to say it's on me or whatever the case may be. Talk to me about that.
You know, that's a game that, you know, we've been fortunate enough to play with each other for a while, is, you know, try to beat each other to pay for it. You know, the other game we'll do is Shannon and I, when we go out to dinner, they'll hand us a menu. When the waiter or waitress comes back, I hand it back to them. And I say, look, we want an appetizer each. And we want this, and you know, what is it you guys are best at? And go ahead and take care of it. Again, that's part of the trust, the process.
Yeah.
And be able to make easy decisions. I'm going to their establishment. Give me the best of what you guys make, and let me just have it, right?
Yes.
And so where else are we not doing that? You know, we're showing up in the real estate office. We know we're supposed to prospect. We know we're supposed to do certain things, and yet we're getting in our own way. Why? Well, because there's some kind of reward in that drama, right? We like to stay stuck. Instead of, how do I get myself out of the way and have amazing experiences?
Yeah.
And that's something that the lens that we're constantly trying to tune up and look through.
Joe, I mean, for all of our listeners and viewers, if you're watching on YouTube, I feel like my chest is caving in right now. Because I'm just like, you have no idea, man, how insanely passionate I am about helping people to understand this stuff.
Danny, I do understand how insanely passionate you are. I think that's why we've remained friends and close friends for all these years, that, you know, we've gone a year without talking. We pick up the phone and boom, it's like as nothing. If it was 5 minutes ago.
So answer me this, Joe. I'm a listener right now. I'm listening in, you know, Florida, Kentucky, New York, wherever I am, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you're speaking to me right now.
Right.
And I'm hearing some truths. I'm hearing some truths that maybe I don't want to really hear or address, but I know they're there. And I know I don't make fast business decisions. I know that, you know, I look at the price on the menu. I know that I'm not living the life that I know that I'm destined to live. What's step number one? What are some things that people can start working on right now, the moment that this show is over?
Well, I think from a philosophy standpoint, I mean, I'll use the words master your emotions. Mm. You know, and we hear that, and you know, it's don't get too high, don't get too low. But really, the reality is get off the roller coaster, right? I guarantee you this, Danny, you're going to face a major challenge this year. Okay, I don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to be. I know I'm going to face one. Mm. It's irrelevant. It's coming. How am I going to handle it when it shows up? And is it going to overwhelm me? Is it going to take me off my game? Or is it going to empower me to say, okay, here we go. Let's go. I knew something was coming. Let's get it. Well, and that happens on every deal. Most agents own the deal, meaning like it's about them. Like, how dare this happen? No, this is how you earn your money. This is how you make a difference. So get out of the way, get off the roller coaster, and move forward on it. Move forward at every step of the way and quit getting hung up on the little BS details that you're making a big deal out of. Because I promise you, at the end of the year, when you look back, you won't even remember most of it, you know? So, I mean, I wrote down a couple of notes, and one of them was about this mastering the emotions, you know? Our industry, we deal with people in their emotions. You know, they're buying a home for whatever reason, they're selling a home for whatever reason, and it's good to have empathy for them, but you don't want to join them in it. They're hiring you to be that, you know, that safe island that they can go to, handle the problem, move on. But you also can't carry it with you, because that's what's going to exhaust you. And that's why you'll stay stuck at 5, 10, 15, 20 deals, because you're carrying the garbage from yesterday instead of making fast decisions,
right,
handling it and moving on, and now go create some more.
You know, it's funny you say that, Joe, because I teach our people that as a salesperson within a transaction, you're essentially two things. You're a leader and a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like the energy you need to come from.
Absolutely.
And if at any point in time you lose that energy, then the drama of the transaction will like overrun your life. And yet, I guarantee you, and give me your thoughts on this, that if the drama of the transaction is overrunning their life, there's other dramas that are overrunning their life and their personal life as well.
Well, that's how they operate. And it's okay. I mean, I know that I've done that in the past. I
right.
know I've ridden that game. And yet what you realize is how exhaustive it is. It takes from you everywhere. You know, so if you've got some challenges happening at home, you know, let's clean them up. Let's move on. You got challenges happening in your business. Clean them up. Move on. You don't want to cross them, because now you're adding like dry wood onto a fire. You know, it's just going to start raging, and it's going to consume your energy and consume your enthusiasm, because this business is all about, you know, how enthusiastic are you?
Heck
are
yeah.
Are you an entertainer? Do people feel good when you're around? Do you bring energy? Like when you walk in the room, do you change the room? Or are you one of those people waiting for somebody else to change the room?
Yeah. So you know, it's funny. I try not to mention what we do on this show, because I don't want this show to be about what we're doing. But it's one of the reasons why I started the company. You know, because I realized that we're not accountants, we're not surgeons, we're not lawyers, we're freaking salespeople. You know, and salespeople need to feel enthusiastic. And that's one of the components, I think, of a great environment is breeding enthusiasm. How important do you feel that is, that we stay plugged in and constantly feel not only enthusiastic, but just great about our lives and great about ourselves?
You know, I had a comment from a friend of mine, a new friend, right? I haven't known him real long. And he said, he goes, you know, I haven't been around you, but for a few months, he goes, but I can't tell if this is an act or if this is really how you are. And I'm like, I'm baffled, because I don't even know what he's talking about at this point. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, man, you're always like happy. You're always excited. You're always like, hey, what can we go do? What can we create? Whether it's, you know, we sit on a board together for a charity, and he's like, and you're excited, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I know you're up early. He's like, you know, would you drink a lot of coffee? I'm like, No, I think my number one responsibility in my life, let alone for my sales business, is to be uplifting, to be excited, yeah, to be passionate. Otherwise, why am I doing this?
Right.
Right. And so to your point about you, what you guys are doing down there, without question, environment is critical. I mean, we work so hard at protecting our environment. We had some people that were with us last year, good people, just they weren't adding to the environment. You know, they were quality people, wasn't anything wrong with them, but no energy.
Yeah.
Right? Or they were taking the energy out of the room, and we've shuffled the deck a little bit, brought in some people that are excited and passionate. And guess what?
Everybody gets better.
Yeah. And it's contagious now. The rule is we can only have one person that's being challenged in a day. So if you're that person, okay, the rest of us, our job is to uplift you.
Got it.
Right? No, we can't have two. So if somebody else came in first and they're not, it's not 100% for them, we're all dedicated to lifting you up.
Awesome.
And I know that's the way your environment's got been down to your office.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic. So Joe, you mentioned some words here that I kind of want to talk about. You mentioned mastermind. And I'll tell you what, even within my own company, this is a challenge. We are just shy of now 300 agents. And the reality is that, thank you. And the reality is that I know that in order for them to grow and in order, you know, if I really care about them, that's a large company. So I want to make it feel smaller.
Yeah.
And this is for our listeners as well, is that you got to get plugged in and connected to a mastermind group. This is one of Napoleon Hill's like fundamental beliefs. Talk to me about when you started your first mastermind, how to start it, and the benefit of being in a mastermind group.
Ooh, man, that's a good question. The when I first started, I mean, it went back early in my career. I mean, probably shortly after you and I met, where I started to understand the power of feeding off of other people and finding other people that were on a similar path. Hmm. The key to a good mastermind is finding people who are willing to put their egos down.
Wow. Joe, can you say that again, please?
The key is to find people who are willing to put their egos down. Hmm. And, you know, the mastermind, at different times, everybody's gonna be doing well. Not everybody's gonna do well the entire time. And if you're not okay with the one or two times where you're in a struggle, you're in a challenge, then the mastermind's not going to work because you're putting up a front.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you got to dump all everybody, but you got to be able to say, hey, you know what? I'm challenged right now. I'm in a funk. I'm off my game. Whatever. Help me out. What do you do? You mentioned, obviously, Ty Leon Guerrero, one of my best friends on the planet. Ty and I, you know, we met at one of Mike Ferry's prospecting schools. You know, we're learning the scripts and we hit it off. Man, we talk, it's 21 years later. We still talk a couple times a week and our whole game is how to lift the other guy up.
Yeah.
Who is higher up? And we play a game like, you know, like if I'm sitting up at one of the suites in here in Las Vegas and, you know, a beautiful penthouse or something with a view, I call him and talk smack. You know, or if I'm getting on a private jet and we're flying somewhere, I call him or he's at the, you know, the Warriors game last night.
Yeah.
And he's sending me pictures of it like, oh, he's doing amazing things, right?
Yeah.
But the idea of the mastermind is, you know, how do we be real about the challenges that we're facing? And then what solutions can I bring to the table? No drama. Just, hey, here's a challenge I'm facing. And now what ideas are there? And find people who are truly committed to growth, which is not always easy. But if you show up at the different, you know, the real deal real estate events, and obviously in your office, you got the right environment for it. You know, put the ego down, plug in, and you know, be a servant to the mastermind, but at the same token, bring your best.
How big of a group?
You know, too big, it gets watered down. You know, I think 4 to 6 is probably about the right size, you know, and just depending on the personalities. But, you know, I've been in some that are bigger and it's easy to hide.
Yeah.
The idea behind the mastermind is to remove your ability to hide.
Awesome.
And be real about what's going on. You know, these are my numbers. Here's what we're doing. If you're not talking about it, you're just kind of a social club. You got to get to the real stuff.
Awesome. Got it. This might be tough.
Okay.
Because I know you, like I, have been to a bazillion seminars, mm-hmm, a bazillion books read, thousands of coaching calls. you know, we're in it to win it, right?
Yep.
What percentage of your success do you attribute to being a part of a mastermind group and I guess the spirit of just being coachable, Joe?
Well, the spirit of being coachable, that's everything.
That's everything, right? Yeah.
I mean, and I don't care what it is, you know, whether you're in real estate listening to this or you're in some other career field, you know, if you want to grow and you want to be better at what you're doing, it's about being coachable. Because I promise you, even today, 23 years later, I'm listening to my coaches. I make my phone calls and go, hey, you know, I need help here. There are areas outside of my expertise and my skill set that I need help on. And I ask for it. And, you know, it's funny you say that is we're just having this conversation with my son this last weekend. I'm talking about nobody knows it all. Mm-hmm. But there's somebody out there that's further up the mountain on the journey that can guide you through the portion that you're having a hard time through.
Yeah.
And that's what being coachable is about. So to answer your question, the mastermind group, absolutely essential because it keeps me plugged in day in, day out. But the coaching and being coachable in general, it's the foundation for everything.
Awesome. I'm loving this, Joe. I'm loving this. I mean, I don't even know where to go. I'm loving this so much.
Well, hey, can I throw a concept out to you that is something that I actually got introduced to it. It was just about 30 years ago.
Okay.
And it has literally been one of the most amazing things that I've plugged in this year. And it is what is driving me right now.
Okay.
So in high school, I mean, I grew up a soccer player, played, you know, from the time I was about five all the way through. But in high school, I had a high school coach named Ray Perez. And Ray was a great guy. He was a hard ass. You know, the kind of coach that, you know, back in the day, it was like your hair has to be groomed, your shoes have to be shined before, and if not, you're not playing. Right. I mean, literally had inspections. So he was very detail oriented. But I, you know, I remember Ray always telling us, he said, you know, I want you guys to master this first 5 minutes. And he goes, this first 5 minutes is what makes or breaks what we're doing. And what he was referring to at the time was during a soccer game. So the first 5 minutes of a game, you got to come out and play as hard as you can, as physical, and give it everything you got, because that sets the tone. Said, after any goal is scored, whether it's we score or the other team score, that first 5 minutes after is absolutely crucial. Start the second half, the same thing, first 5 minutes. So you'll find that during a given game, there's many first five opportunities, but it's all about momentum change. And it was earlier this year in January that it clicked. He wasn't talking about soccer. I don't know why it came to me, but I started noticing that when I show up half-ass, and let's just take a simple one, at the gym.
Right.
And I get on the treadmill and I just kind of, you know, go through the motions and I start.
You're hanging on.
I'm tired and I didn't get enough sleep. Yeah. Whatever story that, you know, is going to serve me to be lazy.
Right.
I don't get the most out of it. Yeah. But when I show up and that first 5 minutes, I mean, I get on there and it's on. I mean, I'm frothy. I'm sweating at that 5 minutes. You know what? Guess what? The rest of the workout, I'm killing it.
Absolutely.
Same thing when I show up in the office. I come through the door, I'm lit up. Yes, let's go. First 5 minutes on the phone. First 5 minutes when somebody hangs up on me. First 5 minutes after somebody says no on giving me an appointment, right? First 5 minutes when I get home. First 5 minutes when I show up at any networking events, I walk through with the energy. Guess what happens? It's contagious.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, everything I bring to the table, it changes everything. And so instead of being, oh man, that, you know, that expired or that FISBO or even that past client wasn't very nice to me or they hung up on me, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Okay, first 5 minutes, they just scored a goal on us. Let's go. Let's bring our A game. And it's amazing that the shift that has occurred, it has been like, I don't know, my energy's lit up all the time now.
Awesome.
In fact, I had the trainer tell me the other day, he said, man, I really appreciate you coming to these 5 a.m. workouts. I'm taking one of these boot camps. And he said, you've completely changed the energy of this 5 a.m. class. And I said, oh, well, thank you. He goes, I don't know, do you drink a lot of coffee before you come here? I'm like, no, I come in ready.
Decide.
He goes, well, everybody's walking around high-fiving each other and fist bumping. You know, prior to you showing up here in the beginning of the year, this place was dead in the morning, right?
And again, Joe, listen, I think a lot of people, you know, they hear stuff like this, right? Or I get this all the time. Like, they'll see my posts on Instagram and they notice it that some ungodly hour of the morning or whatever the case may be. Yeah. And they're like, you know, I wish I was born with that ability, you know? And I'm like, no, people, you don't get it. This is a choice you make to better your life by being more energetic and more enthusiastic. And this is a choice. This first 5 minutes, guys, this is a tip. This is a diamond in the rough that he's given you, right? This is something that you can actively start doing literally within the first 5 minutes that you stop listening to this show.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine if we all started within the first 5 minutes of the end of this show, the change and the impact that we could have on our lives and on the industry and the people of those people around us. That would be fantastic.
Well, I think it's all about your ability to shift, right? So we go back to your comment about making fast business decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, when things aren't going your way, okay, first 5 minutes, they just scored a goal on us. Let's change the energy. Let's shift. Let's get our effort up. Let's do something that's going to be empowering. And then from there, guess what? All of a sudden, whatever that challenge was, it's in the rearview mirror. Right. It's irrelevant. Now we're on to the next thing. And that's how we have real productive time.
Fantastic. So Joe D, we got the first 5 minutes now.
Yep.
Now I want to talk to you about the psychology of selling here, because that has to do with mindset. Just to give people an idea, best listing month ever, what'd you list?
Well, I've had a couple that I would call best because there are different stages of my career. So like the first time I listed over 20 properties.
In one month.
Okay. Yeah. And it was the old school FSBO expired. I mean, knock it out. And in fact, my wife and I, at the end of the year and through the new year, we kind of clean up the year we had. And I have a file going all the way back to 1997 of all my numbers. That's like awesome. everything charted every year, what we do. And then I also have all the numbers for the months. And we were pulling them out and we're just looking at it. And I remembered that month, I took 22 listings in the month of December to end the year 1998.
Wow.
And I wound up listing, hitting my listing goal, but exceeding it. It was 130% of the goal. And it was all December. And the game was, I was only going to work 18 days. And I wanted to see what could I create in 18 days. And this was, again, early in the career, and it was hard. It was hard work, but you know what it was? It was showing up every day and asking for opportunity, asking for the appointment, and not stopping on the first one. You know, ask them, they say no, you spend a minute or two, I call it foreplay, you get back into, talk to me about it, okay, so now's not the right time, how about, you know, and what about, and then ask again, and then maybe do it again, and then ask again. Eventually, they're going to wear down.
So Joe, I got to ask you because, you know, I think everybody specifically that is in real estate that is listening to this conversation right now, would at one point in time want to know what it felt like to take 20 listings in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And yet some people can't take 20 listings in a year.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that there's people out there working just as hard as you did, probably even harder than you did that month that you did 22 listings in 18 days, just to get two, maybe three listings.
Right.
So let's talk about that because I really want to help people to get from like prospecting just to do it and like actually expecting and getting results. What are some of the things that they can do to start expecting and getting results?
Well, I think the first thing they got to realize is that it's their ability to recognize motivation.
Okay.
The only way you're going to list a lot of property is to be able to quickly separate suspects from prospects. Suspects are people that, maybe, would be nice. If all the things lined up, we'd do it. Real prospects have a definite reason to do it. And so I know a lot of times, and you know, I was definitely guilty of this in the past, is I would hold on to some leads that thinking, okay, you know, maybe they're going to really turn into something. But the reality is, if they don't have a hard reason of why they're moving, you know, they're not going to do it.
Right.
You know, they're going to get in their own way. They're going to price it too high. They're not going to let you put the lockbox on. They're going to want to cut commissions. They're going to make showings impossible. They're not going to stage the home right. All those things are going to get in the way from it being a sale. But if they're motivated, guess what? All of a sudden they're open to all that. That's and right. They know they need help. And so like I listed a for sale by owner yesterday, and you know, he was hell bent a week ago that he wasn't gonna list. Hmm. He was like, nope, nope, nope. I've done this before, I'm not doing it. And guess what? Within a week, he went through the learning curve. Why? Because I knew he had to move.
Right.
All I did was just keep in touch. And I'd write down, if you want to list a lot of property, you better learn how to follow up. Follow up, follow up, follow up. You might set some appointments on your first call. No doubt about it. Yeah. Especially on an expired or something like that. But most of the time, you're going to get your appointments in your follow-up calls. You'll set them. Don't get on your first call saying, oh, I'm not going to set appointments. Absolutely be committed to setting that appointment. But also understanding, you identify the motivation, you're there now. Like, you know who's real and who isn't. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, Joe. And Joe, by the way, you know, we teach that 80% of sales that are made are in the follow-up. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, without question. I mean, it's what separates the true professionals is understanding that you can't quit early. You know, a lot of people can make the first call, but it's staying with them. And that's where the business is won.
Awesome. Fantastic. So Joe, did you have any other points that you wanted to touch on? Because this segment of the show, what we do is, you know, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/danny.morell.page, we open it up to live questions as we're interviewing our guests. And I've have like 50 bazillion questions to ask you. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. So here we go. So let me see. Let me bear with me here. Okay. Yes. Here's a great question from Joe Perez. Joe Perez asks, what is your motivation? What is your why?
Oh, man. You know, that's something that changes pretty regularly. Hmm. You know, different phases of life, different things are important. Right now, what's important to me is living the example that I want my kids to be able to emulate and know that you can create whatever you want at any time that you want. And you're 100% responsible for how you feel and what you create. And so, you know, like they're getting a kick out of seeing, well, they don't see me get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but what they do see me is me coming back all sweaty and, you know, and all that, and then making great choices on food and then, you know, taking them on great vacations. And you know, they know that the work is there. And so that's my why.
Awesome.
I got an amazing wife who is, I mean, she's like the best partner in crime that I could ever ask for because she's all in on everything. She's awesome. Like, okay, if that's what we're doing, let's do it. And so that's the game.
Awesome. And you know, Joe, it's funny. I think when people ask that, they expect something like, I want to sell 100 houses or I want to become a millionaire or whatever. And you know, I try to say this all along. Your why should be a being choice, a decision that you make about who you want to be. And so that was a perfect answer. Perfect answer. So, okay. Okay. So here's another question. Fabian Gomez asks, what are the three main daily cornerstone habits that you have?
Right now, and this is rock solid. I mean, working out, and working
one.
Hard. Yeah. I got to start my day off the right way. I've got to start, you know, I use that word, get into a lather, get frothy. Mm. And it's a little bit of the warrior spirit, you know, because, you know, our job as salespeople is to go out and do things that most people couldn't imagine that they're going to do. And if you're going to do it at a high level, you got to be able to run into a lot of stuff. And so I know for me, if I have a good hard workout, that's going to get the energy flowing the right way. The other thing I do is I review my goals and I read my affirmation. You know, we have the playbook. It's two-sided. It's laminated. I have one in my car. I have one in my bathroom. I have one in my office. And so, you know, I'm always reading that. And that just keeps me mindful of the game that we're playing and what we're focused on creating. And then the third thing is following my schedule. If I put it in my schedule, I need to do it. And if it's not in my schedule, I'm not doing it.
Not doing it. Yep.
You know, or I've got to plan it for another time where my schedule will allow it. But the big thing I notice, especially as you get, you know, get some deals and businesses rolling your way, everybody wants to interrupt you. The title company wants mm-hmm. to take you to lunch. The lenders want to come by and, you know, the home warranty people want to stop. I mean, none of it's bringing me opportunity. So it's not my schedule. Sorry. I can't,
right.
You know, I appreciate you're doing your job, but my job's a little bit more important to me.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. The ability to say no. Here's a big one from Eric Chan. Is most of your, you know what? I'm going to ask this a different way. Where does most of your business come from? And do you have a large database?
Yes, I have a large database. Okay. And there's two parts to the database. There's the general aspect of it, which is a few thousand people. But then there's the real core, what I call my triple A list people.
Okay.
And these people I work all the time. We take them to events. If I find out they're going to be at, you know, at one of the galas in town for some charity, we're there, we're showing up, and we're with them, we're hanging out, we're having fun. Last year, we had 56% of our business come from referrals, and I'm proud of that.
Awesome.
And it's a wide variety of referrals from CPAs, from financial planners, from attorneys that I know. And these are all people that I'm working on purpose, and they know it.
Right.
They know I'm looking for business.
Awesome.
And I call them and have fun about it. I called two of them on Friday, and they're like, well, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm hunting. They're like, you're hunting? Where are you hunting? I'm like, I'm hunting for real estate referrals. And they're like, aha, that's a good one. You got me. It's like, well, who do you know?
Yeah,
you know?
Come on, give it to me then.
Right. And here's what's funny. Both of them had somebody.
That's awesome.
And so it's like, okay, my job is to make sure I keep asking.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Great answers. Okay, here's another one from Apple Coreal. What systems do you have in place to allow you to manage so many transactions?
Ooh, it's not just one system.
Yeah.
But I think bigger than that, it's a mindset.
Joe, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was thinking the same thing.
Of course you were.
It's like people always want to know, you know, by the way, great question, Apple. But
yeah, absolutely.
They see doing a lot of business as if like, okay, well, what are the systems and the mechanics? And I'm like, first, you just have to decide that you're meant for greatness and that you can handle a lot of business.
Yep.
You know, that's step number one. Step number two, who cares? If step number one is in place, step number two will figure itself out.
It always figures itself out. And our systems have changed. You know, going back to the first time we did 100 deals in the late 90s, it has changed every couple of years based on new technologies and new things. You know, when we were going through the REO phase, where we were getting on planes and flying to different cities and selling asset managers on using us, and then having to use their systems, which had nothing to do with our systems, to run their platforms.
Right.
We scrapped everything. And then when that was over, we had to rebuild it. So it constantly changes. But I think being diligent, but one thing I will say on how to do big business, you got to learn how to compartmentalize what you're doing when. So for example, when you walk in the morning, if you immediately jump into an escrow, you can forget about
everything.
Deals. It's over. You're downhill and you're overwhelmed. So you've got to train your clients to understand that you're available. And for me, it's from 11 to 12. You'll be hearing about me during any offers that come in, any challenges we have on any of the offers or escrows, or just even an update on where we are on the listings, unless you need another time, and then it'll be after that time. The mornings, if you're going to do big business, you got to have the mindset that I'm not going to allow my mornings to be interrupted, and you're going to do your job, which is to go hunt.
I think that was literally one of the biggest things you've said in this entire conversation. And I'll be honest, you know, being that I'm so passionate about helping everybody like get better, you just helped me help them to get better.
Right.
Because the reality is that I've never used that word compartmentalize, but that's what you have to do. You know? I always use the words, you got to make sure to schedule it. Right.
Yeah.
But people have a hard time with the concept of scheduling it.
Right.
And something about that word compartmentalize, that was big, Joe. So thank you for that.
I think there's two parts to the compartmentalize. Now I can't even say it. The first part, obviously, is the schedule aspect. The second part is emotional.
Right.
Right. Because if we let that spill over, like we helped a client that we know that he is terminally ill. He knows he's got a couple of weeks left. His wife, who's very elderly, has a home. His daughter lives in Washington State. And he wants to get everything handled before he goes so he can get her up to Washington State
and
to be with her, the daughter. And the reality is, can I join him on that? Absolutely. Did I empathize with him? No question. But I compartmentalized and understood I have the most important job in the world today.
Yeah.
And that's to make this guy's life easy right now.
That is awesome.
And to make sure his wife is taken care of.
You know, Joe, I have a story just like that one from when I was selling, and it's amazing. I don't think you can even attract those people. I don't think God will bless you with those people until you learn to compartmentalize your freaking emotions.
Yep.
And understand that as the leader and the teacher, you just can't get involved in everything. Right. You just can't allow yourself to.
You're a professional. You have a job to do, and they're coming to you and saying, hey, I got a big issue here. I need you to solve it. Are you willing to step up and do everything that's needed so that I don't have to worry about it?
Yeah.
If you could say yes to that, man, they keep coming.
Right, right. They absolutely do. Couple more questions, Joe.
Yeah,
they keep coming. What? Okay, I think we answered that one. Ah, here's a big one.
Yep.
How do you keep yourself going at a high level without falling victim to complacency? This is from Manny Carrillo.
You know, there's a couple things on that. Number one, exposure. You know, get out and look at cool stuff. You know, we go down to Laguna Beach pretty regularly.
I was just there last night.
Beautiful place, right?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I've been doing the last few is I take my kids into the art galleries. And I remember there was a time in my life when I would go into an art gallery and I would literally be freaked out. Like, it's a couple grand for a painting?
Yeah.
You know, and now I can sit and I can have a conversation with them and talk and tell me a little bit about more about the artist and what was going on here and what is the meaning, you know, and I'm like at peace with it. Like, it's no big deal.
Right.
Now, when I show up at different clients' houses and I see the artwork on the wall,
yeah,
I can have a conversation with them. So, you know, we got to expose ourselves. I remember Shannon and I, when we first got together, we started talking about dreaming big and, you know, I wanted, you know, a convertible sports car and everything else. So we're down in Newport Beach. And she takes me to the Ferrari dealer. And I mean, I'm in awe.
Yeah.
Right? Well, here's the funny part. I get in there. We're in the showroom. I'm white knuckling.
Right, right, right.
I'm
squeezing
this thing. And I'm sweating. And I'm like, I went, oh my gosh, I got to get over this.
Yeah, you do.
And so what do? I constantly put myself in a situation where, you know, we'll go down to the Wynn here in town and my wife will put on a watch that's $200,000.
Yeah.
And I've got to be like calm and cool and collected. The other thing, surround yourself with people who are playing a big game.
Awesome.
Or pushing themselves. You know, they don't have to be at the big game, but they got to be on the path and on the journey and the willingness to go out and do it, because they're going to bring to you ideas and thoughts that are going to get you out of your box, because complacency is nothing more than you've just ran out of ideas.
Yep.
So.
I love it. Okay. Looks like this is the last one.
What do you
feel was your biggest breakthrough that you needed to go to get from an average agent to a high volume agent? What's that one thing that you feel you had to go through, and maybe it was painful, but you're thankful that you went through it?
Yeah. I mean, there's two parts to that answer. I mean, I think number one, surrendering is it, and just realizing that, you know, when we are like gripping it, like thinking, you know, you got to have everything lined up a certain way, and it doesn't work that way. Mm. It's about just surrender to the process. Like, you know, I see a lot of people will start prospecting and maybe they'll do it for a few weeks. Maybe they'll even do it for a few months, but they don't break through that barrier,
right,
where all of a sudden they become a part of it and they own it. And it's a part of them automatically. It's not the struggle. And most real estate agents quit long before that, whether that's learning their objection handlers, learning their presentation. You know, you've got to fight through it. I was reading a Sports Illustrated article on UFC fighter McGregor, the Irishman.
Oh,
and
love him.
You know, in the article, he talks about becoming obsessed with being a professional. And guess what? If you want to do the best you can, you got to become obsessed about developing your skills, about your schedule, and about your mindset. If you can take care of those three, you can do anything that you want. That's the reality. The problem is sometimes that conversation you have in here, it's getting in the way, and it's gotten in my way in the past, but my job is recognize
overcome,
it,
right,
shift, and move on.
Awesome. Awesome. Joe.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm saying this jokingly, obviously, but I think we got to somehow figure out a way to charge for this episode. I really do.
Right,
I think this is the episode that if you like want to like do great at life and grow your business, this is the one, right? You know, I don't know how Ty's going to feel about that, by the way, or Adrian.
Yeah, that's my brother, man. We love each other. We root for each other's success every day. There's no jealousy.
Oh, just absolutely all in good fun. So, Joe, last minute thoughts?
You know, the last thing I would say, and maybe we could touch on this in a future episode if you if it works out for you, where that's something you want to do, is take the time to learn people. Really start getting familiar with different personality types and how they make decisions. And I know we're just kind of touching on it late, but there's some really great books out there, some great audio programs. It doesn't really matter what it is. There's enough of it out there, but just start trickling that in your brain. It'll help you with the frustrations of, gee, why won't this accountant that I'm dealing with not make a decision right now? Well, it's because I didn't present him with any data, right?
Right.
You know, and so understanding that each one of the personality types, they decide differently. And so you need to have an approach that's different that works for them. And at the end of the day, there's nothing getting in your way. And if you feel like there is, shift. Just take a look in the mirror and say, okay, I can do this. I can do this better. As hokey as it sounds, I mean, that's the reality. You look at a four-year-old kid that maybe is struggling with riding their bicycle or learning how to swim, and you would encourage the hell out of them. You'd say, come on, you got this. You'd be their biggest cheerleader. Well, guess what? Start being your own biggest cheerleader. Start stepping up and patting yourself on the back. Celebrate the little victories, but don't celebrate forever.
Yeah.
You know, just be, give yourself a fist pump. So we got bells in this office that gongs that when things go well, everybody's cheering. You set an appointment, you get a contract. We're celebrating. And as we said, we were bowling once, and my kids and I came up with this idea. We said, we're going to celebrate every ball we throw. If it's a gutter ball, we're high-fiving. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, you start bowling better.
A lot better.
Same thing in life. Start celebrating the little things. Don't carry it on for a week because you set one appointment, but high-five yourself. Give yourself some credit and do it again.
Move on. Awesome. Right? Joe, how do people get a hold of you?
Las Vegas is where we live. We sell real estate here. You can email me at sold, S-O-L-D, at dgrealtylv.com. Sold at dgrealtylv.com. Or you can call my office at 702-871-7736. 702-871-7736. We love referrals, and we love sending out checks to people who send referrals. It's a big part of our business moving forward. We did good on it last year. We're looking to expand on it.
I remember when I was an agent, you were like part of my income for the year.
Yeah.
I would just send everybody to you.
Oh, yeah. Southern California, you're kidding. There's a pipeline that comes from there. They sell at your ridiculously high prices, and then they buy two of them here, right? One to live in, one to rent.
Awesome.
So it works for all of us.
Joe D, thank you, man. This was fantastic. I got to tell you, this is going to have a major, major impact on a lot of people's lives. I feel like we covered the mindset part.
Yep.
You have so much to offer. We're going to definitely have to go over the skill set part. So maybe in a couple months or so, once we've refreshed and really think about how we want to help impact people, we'll have you back on the show again. Sound
you know
good?
I love what you're doing, and anything I can do to support your message. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans as well as one of your biggest friends. So
thank you.
You know, keep up the great work, because this is one of the pieces of fuel that I use. I'm watching all these podcasts and listen to it all the time too, because it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So thank you. Keep it up.
You know, no, I'm glad you said that, because I do too. I listen to them and I'm like, oh my, I get pumped up myself sometimes. So this is good. Good. So guys, this is a wrap for all of you out there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Sales Show. I got to tell you, really excited about what's going on, and really excited about shows like this one who are fulfilling the purpose of the show, which is going to be to flat out help you sell more, do more, achieve more in less time. So once again, see you next Monday for another edition of the Real Estate Sales Show. Until then, go out and be more, do more, and expect to have a lot more. We'll talk to you then. Bye, everybody.
Right on.